Welcome back to Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. We continue our Project Milwaukee Barriers to Achievement in MPS coverage now with a conversation about teacher turnover. For years, the educational community has struggled with the shortage of teachers in specialized areas like math, science, and special education. But this teacher shortage reflects a larger problem. Our nation's public schools are seeing teachers leave at an alarming rate. About 50% of new teachers leave after 5 years. The National Commission on Teaching in America's Future says that low-performing schools, like MPS, are ill-equipped to close the achievement gap for students because they can't close the gap on teacher quality. With high rates of teacher turnover, these schools must continually rebuild their staffs. According to the Commission's 2007 study, Milwaukee had a turnover rate of about 17%, with a majority of teachers leaving the district entirely. Additionally, low school performance and high poverty rates were related to the high teacher turnover. Such turnover and a constant influx of new and inexperienced teachers has an impact on students, and it also costs districts significant money. The Milwaukee-based educational journal Rethinking Schools has recently tackled the issue of teacher retention. Founding editor and teacher Bob Peterson says there are complex reasons why so many new teachers leave the field so soon and why it's so difficult to recruit quality, talented educators. He tells Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce that teacher retention is a huge challenge for schools.
It's estimated that 270,000 kindergarten through 12th grade teachers need to be replaced every year because of people leaving. And the bigger problem is half of the new teachers who come in leave after 5 years. And in fact, in urban areas like Milwaukee, the data shows that half of them leave after 3 years. And it's a huge financial problem. According to the National Commission on Teaching and America's Future, they estimate that it costs the country $7.3 billion on an annual basis just to hire and rehire and train a new teacher. So we're looking at a major problem in our country. When I started many years ago in Milwaukee Public Schools, there was full art, music, and gym and librarians in our schools. And now there's very little of that because of budget cutbacks. And so there's less time for a new teacher, for a veteran teacher like myself, to plan and to collaborate and to learn from each other. The situation is stressful, and I'm afraid that that's one of the major reasons that many new teachers leave.
Well, how exactly does this turnover of teachers impact the school, impact the classroom? This is soon going to hit a critical point because there will be a lot of teachers retiring.
Yeah, no, there are different waves of retirement, and that people anticipate there'll be additional retirements greater than usual in the next several years. But it affects schools and affects districts. I mean, bottom line, it affects children. Because a new teacher, no matter how well they're trained at a university or an alternative certification program, is a new teacher and is learning the ropes. And like with most jobs, you learn by doing. You learn in the process. And so it's a couple years before a teacher really gets their feet on the ground. And so during those years, there's more effort, hopefully, on the part of the school to put resources into helping that teacher, sending them professional development, having other people come in, mentoring them, hopefully, coaching them. And then if that teacher turns around and leaves after 2 years, all that effort in training has essentially been wasted, or at least wasted for that school or for that district. And so it's a huge problem. On a logistical level for a district, their human resources department has to be constantly looking for teachers. And it varies, of course, in the subjects. Right now there's shortages in math, science, special education, bilingual education. And these are areas that we end up then having non-certified teachers who are on temporary licenses teaching. There is an unequal impact on children. That is to say that students who go to schools that are higher levels of poverty tend to have teachers who are lower numbers of years teaching, have more turnover, and have less teachers teaching who are fully certified. Thus, it's sort of one more example of inequality in our school system. No fault of the individuals involved, but as a systematic problem, it's something that we have to address.
Do we know what the main causes are for teachers leaving? Is it pay, lack of resources, support? You know, why are teachers leaving in droves, particularly new teachers?
That's a very good question, and a lot of studies have been made, and there's no conclusive evidence. It's not, as some might think, that teachers are mainly leaving because of pay, even though, let it be said, that the average pay for teachers is below the equivalent person who has 4 years college education in private industry. That being said, I think a lot of it is lack of support and difficult conditions. Lack of support, I mean, there's principals, mentor teachers, coaches, other teachers try to help in many schools, but oftentimes those people are overwhelmed with their own responsibilities. And unless that kind of mentoring is institutionalized on district and school levels, it falls in the cracks. You know, most people go into teaching because they like kids and they want to do something well and teach kids well. If you go into a situation and you're dealing with some kids who are very difficult and you don't have adequate support, whether it's difficult because of the social needs of the kids or discipline problems, and you go into a situation where you know you need to learn more but you don't have time to learn more, or you don't have resources, finally people get frustrated and say, well, maybe I should try something else.
It sounds like, based on what you're saying, that schools might be able to prevent so many teachers from leaving if they invest, like they do in their students, invest in their teachers as well. Invest in opportunities for professional development. Invest in resources and support for their teachers.
Absolutely. I mean, that would be nice, and some schools that are successful have done that. It comes down to level resources, but let's be very specific. I mean, you could have a new teacher excused on a regular basis to observe more veteran teachers. You could have veteran teachers come in and model lessons for the new teacher. You could have them then, after they observe each other, spend time talking and how can we improve this. You can do joint curriculum planning. One can do all those things, but it does require time. And time in the teaching area in schools is a resource question. For instance, I teach fifth grade in a inner city school in Milwaukee. It's a wonderful school, La Scuola Fratini, but I only have one 45-minute planning time every 6 days because budget cuts, we've lost a music teacher and a gym teacher. We only have our art teacher. And now with pending budget cuts, we don't know what's coming, you know, next year. I mean, those kind of things not only are important for students, they deserve a full range, a broad range of educational opportunities, but also for teachers so we can be better prepared and do a better job. For a veteran teacher, somebody who has more experience, you can sort of weather some of these ups and downs in the resource wars, as it were. For new teachers, it's like, wow, I'm exhausted, and I'm not sure there's light at the end of the tunnel, and sometimes then they go on.
Well, so then how do schools and districts weigh the benefit of investing in their teachers, providing those resources that support that professional development, and the cost of losing new teachers and having to constantly retrain a new workforce?
I think school districts with enlightened leadership at the top and progressive unions like we have here in Milwaukee will negotiate and agree to various programs. For example, we have in Milwaukee a district-wide mentoring program where new teachers actually do have somebody come in on a regular basis to help them out, to problem solve, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, that only is for the first year. It'd be good if it was for the first couple of years. That's one example, you know, mentoring, coaching. Another thing that we've done in Milwaukee is, and this is true, this applies for teachers with more than 3 years, is a peer support and evaluation program. It's called the TEAM program, where a teacher who is struggling can get that kind of support on a weekly basis. And then if they don't improve, they can be given job counseling so they find a different career. That's called peer mentoring or peer review. It's something that's somewhat controversial, but the Milwaukee District has endorsed it. The Milwaukee Teachers Union has been a leader in that. And that's really positive because we're not talking about just retaining teachers. We want to retain teachers who are quality teachers. But those kind of things actually improve the quality of teaching, improve the likelihood of other good teachers who want to stay. If you're surrounded by energetic, talented teachers, the new teacher will say, yeah, I want to be like them. They're having a lot of success. If next door there's a teacher who's just yelling at the kids and not really working very hard, it's like, ugh, I don't want to continue in this profession. At least I want to get in another school. We as a union, as a profession, and as school leaders have to police ourselves, as it were, and we're trying to do that in Milwaukee. Again, that takes a certain level of resources. You have to have these people come in and help mentor and review. Also, I just have to add, it's not just money. It's a matter of perspective. You know, as you were saying, does the district leadership feel this is important? Does a principal have a collaborative spirit that tries to bring people in and have people work together versus one that's completely autocratic and making people feel powerless? I know new teachers who, when they get in a good situation, they love it. They say, this is a career for me. I know others that are just as good. They get placed in a school where the principal is a little dictator, and it's like, if this is what teaching is, I'm leaving.
Yeah, it definitely seems like that ability to have say in what's going on, not just in your classroom, but in the curriculum, in the school in general, is an important point for teachers that, if it's there, can be very attractive. I wonder if these kinds of national school reform efforts and standardized testing that is so popular these days has drowned out this kind of in-school, teacher-driven approach.
Yes, I think it has, and it's a very dangerous road, I think, we're going down on a couple of levels. One is it's really de-skilling teachers. I mean, the teachers that I find that are most skilled, the most energetic, the ones that get the best feedback from families and principals are those that see teaching as a craft, that really understand that there's a whole range of skills and intelligences that goes into being a good teacher. What's happening because of the push for adequate yearly progress and the No Child Left Behind Act and the Race to the Top monies that are being sort of dangled out in front of people is such an emphasis on data bits, data retrieval, on standardized tests, that it really makes teaching not very enjoyable. In some levels, less challenging than in the past because you don't really think. You're sort of just a technician, quote, delivering curriculum. Here's the other thing about it. There's a lot of push now for what's called merit pay or pay per performance. And I'm all in favor of changing the way teachers are paid. Right now, it's number of years and number of college credits. And that doesn't take into account a number of things. And teacher unions are stepping up to the plate and talking about what's called differentiated pay or teacher ladders, where a teacher can stay teaching but take on more responsibility, work for an overall school-wide project, or taking on responsibility for mentoring other teachers. That's the kind of thing that is so necessary.
So is solving the problem of this teacher turnover really just a matter of money, or are there other things that need to be done simultaneously along with an infusion of money, essentially?
It's not just a matter of money. Money alone won't do it. I mean, you can have money and still not have decent mentoring and coaching programs. You can have money and still not take on the responsibility of helping teachers in need and counseling teachers out. Milwaukee Public Schools actually is doing that now. That's what's so frustrating. And if we had more resources, that would be helpful. Similarly, at a school level, in some schools, money is very well spent. In other schools, not so well spent. And so you do need a level of accountability, no matter how a school district is governed. My experience in working in schools in Milwaukee is one of the best ways of being accountable is making sure that schools are run democratically, not only at the school board level, but at the local level, having parent, teacher, principals work together in school councils and really discussing out some of these hard issues. I'll tell you, most of the parents and teachers that I work with will be the first to say, while money is important, having quality leadership at the building level is important, having committed parents and staff is very important, and then collectively and collaboratively figuring out what program is going to work within a school and then doing it and holding people accountable. All those are outside the realm of money, but they are related. Because as a teacher, I know that time is of essence. I know that it's hard to do anything but just work directly with the kids and think of that. There's nothing wrong with that, but I need more time to work with my colleagues to help the new ones and to help myself become better.
Well, Bob Peterson, thank you so much for coming in today and outlining this issue of teacher retention.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Bob Peterson teaches fifth grade at La Escuela Fratney, or Fratney School, a Milwaukee public school. He's the founding editor of the quarterly journal Rethinking Schools, which has compiled a special online collection of 17 articles focused on teacher turnover and retention in schools. Peterson first spoke with Stephanie Lecce in February. Bob Peterson will also be a guest on our live Lake Effect program on June 3rd as part of our Project Milwaukee series on MPS. We'll take one more short break. When we come back, we'll meet Macedonian pianist Simon Terpceski. He's playing the Saint-Saëns Second Piano Concerto with the MSO today and tomorrow. It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.